Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Welspun Corp Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. From the management side, today we have with us Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO of Welspun Corp, Mr. Percy Birdy, CFO, Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Group IR, Welspun Group, and Mr. Gautam Chakraborty, Head IR, Welspun Corp. Without taking any more time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa. Over to you, Salil.
Thank you, Vikas, and good morning to all of you. I would also like to inform that we also have Mr. Ashish Prasad, the CEO of Sintex BAPL, who has joined us for this call. You must have received the results and investor presentation of the company, which are available on the BSE and NSE, as well as on the company's website. As usual, we will start the forum with some opening remarks by our leadership team. We will then open the floor for your questions. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in your presentation. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after this earnings call, please feel free to reach out to any one of us. With that, let me hand over the floor over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO, Welspun Corp. Over to you, Mr. Mathur.
Thank you, Salil. Thank you, Vikas, and very good morning to all of you. Thanks for joining our earnings call for Q4 and FY24. As customary, let me start my discussion with the key operational and the financial highlights for Q4 and FY24, followed by a business update, and then we can possibly have a very detailed interactive session, as you may wish. So the key highlights of this particular quarter have been it has been a very robust performance for FY24. It has surpassed all the guidances what we have given to the market. It has been a historic high performance of the company, both in terms of our operating revenue as well as in EBITDA. All the new businesses are ramping up significantly, and I'm also very pleased to inform that the Welspun Corp has been ranked in the top 5 percentile in DJSI ESG rating. As far as financial performance is concerned, as I said, this year the company recorded the highest-ever revenue and EBITDA and an ROCE of 20%. Some of the highlights are the total income for FY24 increased by 74% on Y-on-Y basis, touching 17,500 crore rupees. The FY24 EBITDA stands at 1,800 crore rupees, which has more than doubled over the previous year. It's 2x of the last year. PAT for FY24 jumped by more than 5x to INR 1,110 crore, backed on robust operational performance. Our net debt got reduced to 387 crore rupees at the end of FY24 compared to 1,138 crore rupees in FY23. Our ROCE, as I said, has improved to 20% compared to 8% in FY23. Our revenue, EBITDA, and PAT for Q4 FY24 stood at 4,460 crore rupees, 413 crore rupees of EBITDA, and 268 crore rupees of PAT, respectively. In FY24, we also witnessed the strongest-ever operational performance by the company. Strong volume growth recorded in all the business entities: line pipe, DI pipes, stainless steel bars and pipes, and Sintex. If we talk about each entity, the sales volume of our line pipe business in India and USA for the FY24 rose almost 49%, and we clocked almost 980,000 tons, 980,000, a little less than a million tons of sales. Our company, EPIC, in Saudi Arabia almost did 350,000 tons of sales. Our DI pipe continues to the performance at our DI pipe continues to improve. Our FY24 sales volume rose 5x and we sold more than close to 200,000 tons of DI pipes. The stainless steel bar sales volume grew by 132% on YoY basis to almost 16,000 tons. On the building material side of it, our WST sales, which is our tank volume in Sintex, grew by 11%, and we clocked almost 14,000 tons of sales in FY24. While on TMT bars, our sales volumes, we sold almost close to 121,000 tons, which is a 7x rise on a Y-on-Y basis. So if you see from a financial perspective and from an operational perspective, it has been a sort of a record year for Welspun Corp. Now, with respect to the outlook, you know, how's FY25 going to look like and how is the next 2 or 3 years going to pan out, I would like to draw your attention to that. First, let's talk about India oil and gas business. See, the India oil and gas business demand has been very, very steady. You know, we are seeing a demand recovery in terms of creating a gas grid pipeline, and we expect almost 10,000 kilometers of gas grid pipeline is likely to become installed over the next 2 to 3 years' time. City gas distribution expansion across all the geographical areas which have been awarded, I think we still believe that 50% of the work is still left into that, and there will be a huge demand of pipelines which will be coming from that as well. Recently, you would have seen that the central government has sanctioned the scheme for development of pipeline infrastructure for injection of compressed biogas into the city gas distribution system. We are very closely evaluating that, and this seems to be a very big opportunity also on the anvil. Over and above, our signature longitudinal pipe business, which are always used for very critical applications for offshore and gas transmission, is seeing a robust demand globally, and we have a dominant presence in the Middle East, Australian and Latin American and the Southeast Asian market. We are seeing a lot of traction in the business coming from these markets, and we are more than confident that the export market, which is one of our prime focus, will stay very, very robust in this year as well as years to come. We are also seeing emergence of hydrogen pipelines and carbon capture pipelines, including ammonia transmission. So these are the new areas where we are seeing that the work has already started, and as a company we are deeply engaged with that, and we see that as an emerging opportunity, and we would possibly see some breakthroughs in this and in this year as well as in the next financial year as well. If we talk about the water sector, you know, this sector has been growing exponentially in India. The irrigation demand, the demand for irrigation and the demand for pipelines for irrigation purpose is unabated. We are seeing a lot of traction coming from states like Gujarat, MP, Rajasthan, Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, who are putting up a huge network for irrigation, of pipelines for irrigation. And all these states are big, having a massive industrialization and urbanization, which is also adding up to these pipelines. The Jal Jeevan Mission has also ensured that the last mile delivery of this potable water continues, and it continues to support a strong demand. Let me talk. So this was all about India oil and gas and India water. I am sure that you would be very keen to understand as to what is the US market offers to us. At this point, US is one of our focus market. As you know that we are one of the largest player in the US market with almost a market share of 20 to 25%. We are absolutely a pole player in the US market. We have, as you know, that we have just concluded one of the major Permian pipelines order which we just got executed. We are the Permian Basin, as you know, is still very, very active. US is still striving to continue to be the largest LNG exporter. They are drilling like no other business into the Permian Basin, and which means that there are at least 2 to 3 more pipelines which are going to come up in the Permian Basin. You know, having said that, these pipelines are like, one of the pipelines is likely to be awarded by the third quarter of this particular year, end of the second quarter or the third quarter or the start of the third quarter of this particular year. You know, they just completed one pipeline in the March of 2024, and the next pipeline is likely to be awarded by September of 2024. We are very, very actively pursuing that particular pipeline. We are in absolute pole position in respect of that. And I am more than confident that given our impeccable track record and executing almost 3 pipelines out of the 5 pipelines what has been executed, we are definitely one of the serious contenders into this particular pipeline project. Having said that, we already have a confirmed order booking till quarter 3 of 2024. And with this pipeline coming into an award, and apart from this pipeline, there are one or two large projects which are also being in discussion. I am sure that we will see a clear business continuity for Welspun for next 4 to 6 quarters. I am very, very optimistic about that. And I just want to communicate very clearly that I see no concern whatsoever with respect to our US operations. Let me now move on to Saudi Arabia. As you know, our company, EPIC in the Saudi Arabia, is doing phenomenally well. We have a controlling interest in that company. We are absolutely in the driving seat on that company. If you see the performance of that particular company, I think so they have recorded a PAT of 600 crore rupees in this financial year FY24. It was, you know, it has been a very, very strong performance which has been delivered that by company. We are almost 32% shareholder of that particular company, and we are in the driving seat out there. At this point in time when we speak, they have a confirmed order book of more than 2 years. So I am very sure that, you know, their performance over the next 8 quarters is going to be very sustainable. But more than that, I think so the market also is very, very buoyant. Saudi Aramco is investing heavily into their pipeline. Of course, we recently heard that they are trying to go slow a little bit, but I don't think so that is the case. You know, all the major pipeline projects what they have announced, they are going ahead with that. The latest one being the, you know, the Master Gas 3, where they are investing and in which they, you know, in which they are, all these orders are being getting released. And, you know, we would also be one of the recipients of this particular order in Saudi Arabia. So Aramco is going all out in terms of putting up the pipelines, and we are being in a pole position. We would definitely be getting our share from their businesses, which is going to come up. Apart from that, the water company, which is SWCC and SWPC, those who are responsible for transmitting the desalinated water to the habitants, I think so they are, you know, the demand for their pipelines is extremely, extremely huge. And that is what is reflecting into our order book when I say that we are booked for more than 2 years at this point in time. So we see multiple projects from SWCC and SWPC going to come up in near future as well. But the beauty of those projects is that all these projects are meant for local Saudi manufacturers only, and they calibrate depending upon the capacity which is available in the market. So all what it can be inferred out of this is that we are seeing a potential not only for 2 years for which we have a confirmed order book, but at least 3 to 5 years further down the line where SWCC and SWPC will continue to build massive pipelines. Let me also give you an update about our DI pipe business. As I said, this was the first full year of our business. We recorded 200,000 tons of sales in this particular year. As you know, our capacity is 500,000 tons. We have done 200,000 tons in the first year. The demand for DI pipes continues to be very, very strong. I think so there is no doubt whatsoever in anyone's mind that the Jal Jeevan Mission, the Nal Se Jal scheme, the Amrut scheme, the wastewater management scheme, all these signature schemes which are being funded by Government of India are driving this demand, and they are going to be there for the next 5 to 7 years time. We already had an order book of more than 325,000 tons, which means that we are almost booked for 9 months in this financial year. Having said that, you know, the demand, the way the demand seems to be emerging, I think so there is a clear demand for next 5 to 7 years time, and that in the backdrop of that demand, we have enhanced our capacity from 400,000 tons to almost 500,000 tons and further expanding it to 600,000 tons. And we expect that we will be touching our capacity utilization close to 70 to 80% in this financial year. That's what the aim we have set to ourselves. So DI5s, there is a huge tailwind around the DI5s requirement, and we intend to ride over that. Let me also move your attention to our company, Welspun Specialty Steel. You know, this company, I'm happy that Welspun Steel has achieved a complete turnaround during FY 2024, witnessing the first year of consistent profitability. We are now qualified by BHEL and NTPC for the super critical boiler tube grades. This is for the first time for any indigenous company which is integrated in nature to get qualified. So we are the only one integrated facility which are qualified by BHEL and NTPC for their super critical boilers. As you know, the sector like power and defense, you know, they are growing exponentially in India. The Make in India, the Atmanirbhar India policies are necessitating that the pipes for all critical applications have to come from Indian sources only. And we, being the only integrated facility, and with our approvals and accreditations what we are now getting, and also the super critical grades what we have developed over the period of time, I think so that is driving a sort of a robust growth for our company WSSL. Let me move on to our building material vertical. I will give you a brief overview as to what is happening on the Sintex and also what is happening on our long products. I have my colleague Ashish also joining on this particular call, and then we can have a detailed discussion with him as well as to, and he can give you more granular details with respect to as to what is happening on the Sintex side. But having said that, I think so it has been a great year. It has been a great first year for Sintex. You know, we recorded a sale of almost 635 crore rupees in this financial year. The sales has grown by 35% on Y basis. The FY24 looks also a very decent year for us. We are expected to grow much more than the market. We are very confident that this particular, you know, our water tank business, which is gaining a lot of traction, we have been focusing on reviving the channels. At this, we are happy to share that we have grown our retail network by 30% on Y-on-Y basis and consolidated the distribution network. Our engagement program with retailers and influencers, who are the key influencers in this game, have been redesigned and creating a lot of interest. You would have recently noticed that we also sponsored the Women IPL League. So we are investing a lot in the branding. We are also going to brass tacks. There were almost 1,300 plumber meets and 1,000 plus distributor and retailer meets which were conducted. And it is just about building the confidence. As you know, Sintex has a huge brand recall. It is still a product which everyone, you know, which is on everyone's tongue. And I am very sure that, you know, as we move forward, this business is only bound to grow. Over and above this, as you would have noticed, that we have announced a capex which will be spread over almost 2 years, where we are going to invest heavily into the pipes business. The pipes business, and when I say pipes, they could be CPVC, UPVC, SDP and OPVC pipes. So we are covering the full range of pipes, and we are investing almost 2,300 crore rupees over the next 2 years into this particular business. There is a huge exponential demand for this business in times to, you know, over a period of time, and that is necessitating us to put our foot into this domain. We will talk a lot about it in our subsequent part during the question and answer sessions. As regards TMT, you know, this is one particular business, you know, which is purely driven by the infrastructure. We, as you know, we are producing close to 300,000 tons of we have the capacity to produce 300,000 tons of TMT. We are morely focused into Gujarat. Gujarat, as you see, is one of the major industrialization is happening in the Gujarat. Infrastructure projects seems to be happening, and we have been able to get a lot many approvals and accreditations for this. So our TMT sales, which is under the brand Welspun Shield, has grown exponentially. Literally, we sold almost. How much is that? 120,000 tons of TMT in this financial year. I am sure that, you know, in the current financial year, FY25 and 26, we will also be touching close to 70-80% of our capacity utilization. On the balance sheet side of it, this was purely on the business overview. You know, just to recap, I wanted to highlight our confidence in US market, the continuous growth in the Saudi market, the exponential opportunities which are available in the DIP market. Syntax absolutely well on track, and now we are adding new products like plastic pipes, which are going to redefine the complete growth strategy of this company. And our TMT business and our stainless steel business, they are all poised to grow. All our businesses, all the 5-6 businesses what I mentioned, are absolutely firing full cylinder. Their performance was getting reflected in FY24 results as well. If you see, from 10,000 crore rupees revenue, we reached to the 17,000 crore rupees revenue, and from an 800 crore rupees EBITDA to almost 1,800 crore rupees EBITDA, it is a clear reflection that all the businesses are firing full cylinders. I see that this trend will continue in FY2025, and looking at the fundamentals which are shifting in the industry, where we are seeing a sustained growth, we are going to happen for the next 5 to 7 years time. I am sure that the company, all our products and all our companies, our portfolio will fire full cylinder and deliver and meet the expectations. As regards, we are also very mindful of our balance sheet. If you see, there is always a strong focus with respect to managing our debts. I am very happy to report that when we started our year, we had a net debt of 1,138 crore rupees, and we were, through financial diligence and prudence and strong operational performance, we have been able to bring down our debt to 387 crore rupees. This will continue to be our focus area. We will, if you see, our debt to equity ratio is debt to EBITDA is close to 0.2, 0.25. We, even in FY2025, we will ensure that the balance sheet stays strong, and our debt to EBITDA should not be exceeding anything. It has to be less than 0.5. So that's the sort of internal controls under which we are operating, and I'm sure that we will be able to monitor that. It is in the backdrop that of our strong performance in FY24, and you know the way all our businesses are performing at this point in time. You know, we have given you the guidance for FY25 as well. This guidance is absolutely based on solid fundamentals and rationale, and we are more than confident that, you know, we should be in a position to deliver this guidance. If you have to believe me, we gave you the guidance the last year, and what we promised, we delivered. I think you will take it on the face value that when we are giving you this particular guidance, it must be based on strong fundamentals, and we are very, very confident that we should be able to deliver this as well, if not exceed. With this, gentlemen, I will take a pause here, and I would leave the floor for any question and answer which any of our esteemed investors would have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Chandak from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had just one question. So, you know, the outlook as you shared is very strong and positive. Just curious, why is the guidance so flat? Like, if I look at the top line guidance and the EBITDA guidance, that's almost flat to down versus 24. The guidance for 25 is almost flat to down for versus 24. So why is the guidance so muted? I'm wondering.
See, in FY24, we have taken a quantum leap from almost 10,000 crore rupees to 17,000 crore rupees of turnover. And also we have taken a quantum leap in terms of EBITDA from 800 crore rupees to 1,800 crore rupees. Right? While our guidance was something like close to 1,500 crore rupees. You know, we are very clear that the markets and the demands are all going to be robust, but we just want to see that, you know, the ramp up in the curve is smooth. We do not want to give anything which is out of the whack. you know, it is very early in the year at this point in time, and I am sure that as we move further down the years in the subsequent quarters, and more and more clarity will emerge, I think so this will only go for an upward revision. At this point in time, it is just a guidance given based on the fundamentals what we are seeing. We are seeing that at least the growth and the demand would be more or less the same. This is the presumption is that. But having said that, we have a confidence that as we get into the Q3 and the Q2 and the Q3s of this financial year, we will see a fundamental shift. And maybe if that necessitates for us to divide it, we should be able to do that.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have three questions. First is on the DI pipes. Sir, in the opening remarks, you mentioned that on the order book of 328,000 tons, you have a visibility of 9 months. So can we infer that our annual volumes will be upwards of 4 lakh tons just based on your opening comments? Can you just clarify that, please?
Yeah, see, at this point in time, you see that we have a capacity of 400,000 tons. It is getting expanded to almost 600,000 tons by the end of this particular year. We have an order book of almost 328,000 tons. We are expecting, and there is a huge tailwind in this particular thing. So we are expecting that we should be using close to almost 70-80% of our capacity utilization at this point in time. That's what our, that's the ramp-up plan. If you see that we are coming from a 200,000 tons delivery in the last financial year, and we are striving for almost 70-80% capacity utilization in this financial year, I think so that's a quantum leap and a quantum jump what we are suggesting at this point in time. And you know, the business is in a ramp up mode. I would not like to put a number that, you know, if we are going to touch 400,000 tons or 500,000 tons, but I am very optimistic that, you know, the way the business has been ramping up, we should be very, very close to the numbers what you are suggesting.
Great. That's very encouraging. So second question is on Saudi operations. In your opening commentary, again, you mentioned volumes of around 350,000 tons, if I heard it correctly, and the implied EBITDA per ton for the year, it comes closer to $250 a ton. And I believe Q4 will be much higher at maybe $330 to $350 a ton based on just the numbers. So we have always guided for a sustainable EBITDA per ton range of $200. So while maybe this year and next year may be higher than the average, but what's the number you are indicating for FY25? Can it be closer to FY24 EBITDA per ton or maybe Q4 EBITDA per ton? Just some color on that.
You know, our guidance with respect to Saudi has always been that it should be close to $200 a ton. I will maintain my guidance to that. You know, these are project-based businesses. They sometimes, you know, the product makes the market conditions play a major role into that. We have been very, you know, I think so the area to focus is their operational performance.
Absolutely.
You know, the way they have ramped up their production and the way they have been delivering the project is exceptional. I think so in terms of their EBITDA per ton, guidance would be close to 200,000 tons. But you also know that in the past, we have always delivered much more than that. But that's also a factor of the steel pricing and all that stuff. So, you know, we will see how things will pan out in the next financial year. But what you have to recognize is that they have a confirmed order book of more than 2 years. What you have to recognize that, you know, there is almost the steel market is pretty much flat at this point in time. We are not seeing any exponential volatility into the steel market. So we have all reasons to believe that, you know, we will be delivering at least this EBITDA, if not more.
But are we covered on steel? I mean, for how many quarters would we be covered on the steel for the next? I mean, we have an order book of 2 years.
To a large extent, we have covered. We have gone into a very strategic alliance with some of our steel partners, and we have structured very strategic deals with them, which to a large extent, I would say almost 85%, it insulates from any steel volatility.
Great. That's very encouraging to hear. And the last question is, before I come back on the queue, is on the capex. I mean, for 25 and 26, how much are we spending, and what is the split of that 2350 crore of capex that we are envisaging to spend on Sintex? How much will it be split into 25 and 26 separately? Yeah, that's from my side.
All put together, what we are looking, see, there are three capex which are already announced. Number one is about Sintex, which is almost 2300 crore rupees. Then there is a DIP expansion project, and then there is a DIP expansion in the Middle East. So these are the three capex which are announced. I think so. The largest of the let's say the DIP expansion in India, the entire capex will happen in this year, because we are seeing that, you know, in the very fourth quarter that capacity will be completely available to the market. As regards the capex in the Middle East, where what we have announced around 500 odd crore rupees, the DIP capex in the Middle East, it is going to be get spreaded over the 2 years time. And likewise, the Syntex capex which we have announced of almost 2300 crore rupees is going to be split over the next 2 years time.
So this year we can be spending somewhere close to 1700 odd crores.
We will be anything between 1500 to almost 2000 crore rupees of capex in this financial year.
Got it. Great, sir. That's from my side. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aseem from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. First is on the DI pipes opportunity that you spoke about. Very bullish comment, but since you also mentioned OPVC while talking about Syntex, so I wanted to know where OPVC stands vis-a-vis DI pipes when it comes to water supply. And you know, over the last 2-3 quarters, almost all plastic pipe companies have either announced capacities in this space or are evaluating it. And almost all of them have hinted that it would be a substitute for DI pipes. I just wanted to understand, is there any threat of replacement, or now, maybe in the longer term, or do the two products can coexist side by side, or they have different usages in the water supply value chain altogether?
So, first and foremost, I think so, Asim, it's a good question. OPVC is primarily for small diameters, literally let's say from 60 mm to let's say up to 200 or 250 mm, out and out is 300 mm. It will definitely interfere, overplay with certain quantities into the DI pipes, but it is going to be over a period of time. Is it going to be an imminent threat tomorrow? The answer is no. But eventually, whether in certain sizes, that OPVC will have influence on DI pipes, especially 100 and 150 millimeter, I think so the answer is yes. Having said that, is it going to completely replace the DI pipes? Again, it is not possible. The answer is no. It is not, but there will be definitely some influence of that which is going likely to come into the DI space, especially in the low diameter. But that is going to happen not now, not today, at least it is at least 2 to 3 years away.
Okay, so it's the smaller diameters that it can eventually, I mean, replace it, not the larger ones.
Not replace it. No, not replace it, Asim. Let me stand correct. If I told you replace it, no. It will interfere into that domain. It cannot come. The demand in this particular segment is so high and so huge, and the terrain under which the DI pipes are being used, in all the possible terrains, OPVC probably may not go. So I don't think so that it will replace it, but it will definitely make a sizable dent into that particular market.
Okay, understood. Second question is on Syntex in particular. So the growth that has come this year, and I assume all of it is tanks, because I remember Syntex once upon a day used to have PVC doors and all. But the growth in FY24, is there an element of market share gains that has already come to you guys, or is it pure market growth? And going into FY25, what is the expectation on volume and value growth? And are we in a position to start retaking market share that we may have lost to other branded type players who have also set up tanks business?
Ashish, will you like to take this?
Sure. Thank you, Vipul, for giving this opportunity. Now, in terms of when we see water tanks, if you look at it at the peak of its time, Syntex had a market share which was over 20%. And we have shared with you before that we had lost, because of the entire CIRP, we had lost our position, and we had gone to 9 to 10%. Now, while the market shares are not formally calculated in this segment, we believe that as we are focusing on strengthening our go-to-market and we are re-energizing our channel partners with a focus on sales and distribution, we are able to recoup some of those market shares.
Okay. Great. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dinesh from RDST Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thanks for the question. My question is, like, we had this ABB shipyard, right? And there was a news somewhere around last 6 months ago that we're going to sell off some of the land to monetize it further. Just wanted to know any update on that, and you know, what's the net gain of this? Because I remember we're going to sell off almost all assets. Then what remains in this, you know, asset after that? Issue could please.
Dinesh, ABG is an entity on which we are only currently focusing on liquidating our scrap. As we have told that, you know, there was quite a bit of a scrap. We are in the process of liquidating, and it is in the fag end of which is happening at this point in time. Beyond that, our entire energy is currently focused in ramping about the new businesses, which are our DI5 business, our stainless steel business, our Syntex business. Our complete energy and focus is on those particular business. ABG is completely in the backyard at this point in time. As we have told, as we have said very categorically, we are not doing anything on the ABG. We are not going to do any capex there. Only focus there is to liquidate all the scrap what we have, and that's pretty much. So that is where we stand.
Okay, so what was the net gain out of this? Because then the question is, like, what was the rationale behind doing all this this deal? That is still not very clear in that case.
No, at that point in time, we see that it has an intrinsic value, number one. We got, you know, we had plans around that particular asset. We, you know, it is a matter of timing. We decided that, you know, at this point in time, when we are so heavily capexed on the other side of the business, that should get our less attention. So we have just put it at a back burner, and we are focusing on our new projects, what we have done. But having said that, you know, whatever we have invested into that particular asset, I think so through the sales and all that stuff, we have recovered more than that in any case. So it is not creating any drag in my financial statements, please.
Okay, I got it. Thanks for that. Just one basic question here. I just want to know, like, the kind of growth we are expecting for the next 2-3 years and the kind of capex we are doing. My question is, like, are we expecting any improvements in our overall margins, EBITDA margins, from here on, from the current levels?
It should, definitely. I mean, I think so. All of us are only striving towards that. First and foremost, we all fundamentally have to understand that there is a potential growth for the next 3 to 5 years' time, you know, number one. And if that is the way, if everyone sees that way, we are absolutely present in the right sectors at this point in time, and our endeavor would always be to improve our margin, and I think so there exists a potential to improve them. There's no doubt about it, Dinesh. Hello?
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but the current participant has been disconnected. We'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, sir, I wanted to understand that our gross margins have come down. Is this purely because of the fall in steel prices, or is it because there's some blended value coming in as well because of the other businesses? This is the first part.
Viraj, you're talking on the standalone basis?
A consol basis, sir.
You know, Viraj, we are into a project business, number one. The blend, you know, what blend you are running in that particular quarter also has a significant influence around that. And that is the reason we have always been suggesting that the company should be looked, rather than a quarter and quarter basis, it should be looked on an FY to FY basis. That's the way we should be looking at the company. And with now so much of our product portfolios, we have, integrated into our system, I think so it will be more appropriate to see on a year-on-year basis. Because, you know, there is always an abnormality on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So in this particular quarter, what you might have seen is a little bit of an influence of the blend what has been used, and especially on the large diameter pipe. But I think so that's not an area of concern.
Understood. Secondly, sir, just if you can tell me the breakup of volumes between India and USA for the Q4.
The volumes in India and USA,
you're talking of the sales volumes, right?
Sales volumes.
Yeah. So I think for this quarter, we were close to 300,000 tons, both India and US put together. And I would say we were close to about 20% would have been US and
balance would have been India.
Okay, understood. So this next question, I wanted to understand that since we are expanding in Middle East with the DI pipe facility, just a question, a very maybe a very vague question, but I wanted to understand, was it not possible for us to expand through EPIC? We put more money there and integrate this facility within EPIC itself. Was this something like this not possible?
The EPIC is in a different business altogether. You know, the lines of business are very, very different at this point in time. They are purely into the large diameter pipes, and then they are purely into the, you know, the oil and gas sector with Saudi Aramco. The user in case of DI and all that stuff, you know, in the Middle East market is very different. So it would not have been possible to go through the EPIC road. And we wanted to go 100% on this particular entity.
Understood. Okay. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Ravani from Shriji Finserv. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, sir. Can you just share your views on the OCTG pipes in India specifically?
So, Shriji, we can't hear you. Can you could be a little louder, please?
Hello. Just
views on the OTCG pipes in India?
See, that's not the product we have in our portfolio, so it would be inappropriate for us to comment on that, please.
Okay.
Mr. Dhruv, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. The first question was, what is the order book for US in volume terms?
So as I said, you know, we currently have an unexecuted order book of almost close to, let's say, 80 odd thousand tons, which is pending. And I think so that will take us till the quarter three of this financial year.
Okay. The second question was, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that SWCC is preferring the local pipe manufacturers over imports. So that is for the HSAW. But on the DI, what we hear is that the local manufacturers in Saudi, their plants are not as efficient, and hence there is a lot of export opportunities for India in the DI. So given that the same company, SWCC, would also use DI as well as HSAW, then I can't connect the dots between why the demand for HSAW would be more for the local and why would they prefer DI from imports.
So the fundamental is that they would ideally like to have a local manufacturing for catering their demand. And that is what, because in the large diameter there are established players. So, and the demand is being met by them. So, the whole business will be contained within domestic itself on the large diameter, SWCC and SWPC first. Second, the DI pipes, for DI pipes, the buying authority is, in any case, is not SWCC or SWPC. A, it is another company called NWC, the National Water Company. And there, the procurement happens through the EPC route, not directly. So, the procurement methodology is different, number one. And number two, the procurement route is also very different. So authorities are allowed, both of them are different. Now, because that there, you know, the efficiency of the local mills probably is not as good as they should have been. That's my understanding. And they have not been able to cater to the requirement as what is there and as what it is likely to emerge. That is the reason that imports of DI pipes are happening. But at point in time when local capacities are there and they are able to meet the demand, meet all the requirements, I think so the import of DI pipes will completely stop. That is our understanding of the subject.
So sir, is that much capacity is coming up for DI in Saudi as much as it required? Because if imports are going to come down, then the capacities have to be efficient and adequate for imports to come down.
Sorry, I didn't get your question, ma'am.
So you mentioned that they do prefer local manufacturers in DI. So, but currently, what we understand is the current capacities of DI in Saudi are a bit inefficient, and hence they are preferring imports over domestic manufacturers. So in future, if they curtail the imports, then we would need adequate capacities to cater to the demand in Saudi.
Correct.
So, are there more capacities coming up in Saudi other than the ones that we have announced? Or is it significant or?
I am not aware of any other capacities which are likely to come up there. I'm not aware of that.
Okay. So lastly, just a clarification. So you said NWC is the company that is majorly ordering for DI pipes, and SWCC is for the HSAW pipes. So SWCC would also be through EPC?
No. They generally, SWCC buys directly, and then they novate the pipes contracts to the EPC contractor. So their buying methodology is very different.
So they don't demand DI?
They don't. They are, see, the purpose of SWCC, both of them are under the, both of them are government entities. One of them is for the bulk transmission of, the desalinated water, and the other agency is responsible for distribution of that water. So the purpose and the role of the two agencies are very different.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Vikas.
Sir, just wanted to understand one thing. Out of this year, 1,800 crore EBITDA, we got a sizable portion from the sale of steel inventory as well. So on a like-to-like basis, if we adjust for that, what was the core business EBITDA for this year, and how does our guidance look in that light?
First and foremost, Vikas, I don't think so in 1,800 crore rupees, the sale of scrap had any sizable contribution. I think so the sale of scrap possibly had a contribution of maybe around 100 odd crore rupees. Over and above that, there were some one-off earnings which happened, which was with respect to some, we have some insurance claim coming out. So all put together, we have, let's say, 150 odd crore rupees of exceptional, exceptional profit sitting into our EBITDA. Rest, all of that is operational profit only. EBITDA only. So when I,
Understood, sir.
If I have to just simplify that, under 1,800 crore rupees of EBITDA, what we have shown, it is 150 crore rupees is sitting as one-off item, which is nothing else but 100 crore rupees of sales coming from profit, EBITDA profit coming from sales of scrap, and some 50 odd crore rupees, some insurance claim or something like that. So rest, all that is purely operational EBITDA.
Understood, sir. So my second question pertains with our steel business, so especially TMT. As you pointed out that Gujarat market is essentially 10x than what is our current capacity. So are there any plans on that side also, or in terms of us putting our steel capacities, TMT?
See, I first and foremost, I think so the day in the Gujarat market, what we have seen, there is going to be a huge industrialization which is going to happen. So the, and the infrastructure development is going to happen. So both industrialization and infrastructure development are going to happen over the next 5-7 years time in Gujarat. And we all know that what are the projects which are going to come up. So the demand for TMT is definitely going to go up there. Our first aim is that, whatever capacities we have, we service to that fullest capacity. We have not yet reached to the fullest capacity. I think so in the last year, we did close to 120,000 tons. So we are almost at 50% capacity utilization. Our first aim is to get to almost 70-80% capacity utilization. And then we will see that what need to be done around that. But any, or anything further need to be done around that or not, we will evaluate at that point in time. Our first aim is to make, go, get to 70-80% of capacity utilization of our current level.
Understood, sir. Sir, thirdly, on our 2,350 crore CapEx in Sintex, given in the, that this money would probably go from the pipe business earnings basically, so how should we look at the debt moving for the next 2 years, given our cash inflows would still be strong?
Because as I said, this investment is all going to happen over the next 2 years, number one, right? And so, and number two, all our businesses are generating sufficient free cash flow. And also I mentioned in that, you know, we are keeping a very close eye on our debt to EBITDA. And we have almost internally taken a call that we will not let it exceed at more than 5 at this point in time. But rather, we like to keep it even down. So I don't think so that it is going to put any stretch on our balance sheet per se. But these investments, as you understand, are imperative. They are absolutely for fueling our growth. And I think so the benefit of this, we would start seeing in FY26-27.
Understood. Sir, one more question on the DI side basically. Like you said that you are tired, you have strategic initiative to manage the raw material costs. In terms of DI, iron ore and coking coal doesn't have any forward contracts. So have we managed to do something in their regard to actually cushioning down the erratic movements in any of these materials, because these tools have been pretty volatile in past 2-3 years?
I would say that, you know, the coking coal has been a big disruptor into the market in the last 2 years. Iron ore is more or less range bound, anything between $80 to $110. So it is pretty much range bound, and that doesn't move the needle too much, to be honest. The what moves the needle is the coke, and I think so in terms of we have very strategically, you know, captured this aspect, and as we have literally a firm order book in our hand, we are also on the backside. More or less, we have covered ourselves with the coking coal. So we have, for this financial year, broadly we have insulated ourselves with any volatility if it happens.
Understood. And so just a couple of clarification. In Saudi, well, the DI capacity which we would be putting, it would be induction furnaces, right? So we would be buying pig iron and then converting it into pipes.
Pretty much.
Understood. And lastly, sir, 1 lakh additional capacity in DI without any capex. So just wanted to understand exactly what changes we have made to achieve that.
We did some optimizations on the size and the, you know, the layout and on the machines. We had that flexibility available, and when we put that into, you know, originally we thought that this, you know, it will be complementing, you know, it will be giving us close to 100,000 tons. But when we have optimized the design layout and the machine designs, it is giving us that pleasant, you know, it is enhancing by another 100,000 tons. So it is nothing else but engineering, nothing more than that.
Understood, sir. So that's all from my side as of now. I'll come back to you if I have any other further question.
Sir Vikas, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me? So my question is the capex which is going into the pipes business, plastic pipes business, so that when it would start producing, like operational or something, it would take 2 years, or because you said it would be spreading over 2 years. So
as we speak, we have already started investing into that. I think so we should see the operations coming up in the first quarter of FY26.
That's right. Yeah.
Can you just elaborate, please?
Yeah. So the groundbreaking has already started at two of our locations. We're moving in, and we expect that in the H1 of FY26, we will be there and we'll try for first quarter.
And presently, what is the capacity for the tanks sale business?
So one of the changes which... One of the changes which we are trying to do in our outlook is we are trying to move our conversation from capacity. We have sufficient capacity, so we're moving our conversation from volume to value. and that is why if you see our value growths are ahead of our volume growths. We are trying to drive profitable growth, and we are trying to reinforce and reinvigorate the brand, and we are trying to premiumize the market.
I may know, like, what is the present capacity utilization for the Syntex?
I think in today's terms, roughly we should be close to 40%.
Yeah, around 40% is our capacity utilization.
Yeah. Okay. So capacity is not a really a constraint, and as I think Ashish said it correctly, it's towards the higher value chain that our focus is.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mahesh Udwani from Paris Healthcare. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I joined the conference late, so forgive me if the question is repetitive. But my question was on Syntex again, like the previous speaker. The question is, how do you project the Syntex growth plan? When is it likely to be EBITDA positive? And by what traction is it likely to be? So say hypothetically 5 years later, what will be the traction of Syntex business in overall scheme of things?
So let me answer the first part of it. The Syntex business being EBITDA positive, it is also EBITDA positive in this financial year itself. So the business is generating sufficient profit, sufficient margin, and it is EBITDA positive even as of FY24 and likely to continue like that. It is all about the new investments which are happening, as Ashish just explained, that we are investing, we are making all these capex investments which are going to get spread over the next 2 years' time. And the benefits of that investment, you will see, start coming up from the most likely Q1, but rather H1 of 2026, preferred from Q1 of 2026. And that is where we will start seeing this new investment also, you know, contributing into the growth strategy of Syntex.
And what traction is it likely to be in 5 years? According to your projection. And according to your projection, what traction is it likely to be in next 5 years?
See, first, you know, if we see the growth in the, you know, the major investment seems to be happening, is happening in the pipe side of our business, right? This is where we are investing that. The pipe size of the business is 130,000 crore rupees market segment. We are, I'm not saying that we are the only one, but we have to also understand. Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear us, please?
I can hear, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this segment is 130,000 crore rupees segment, number one. I am not saying that we are the only one, but we have to also understand that there is a fundamental shift which is now happening, that from you know, people, there is a complete, you know, people are moving more towards brand, right? And as Welspun and as Syntex, when we are getting into it, you know, there is a huge brand recall. I am sure that we will be able to size up a significant share of that particular market, right? We would be one of the top 4 or 5 players into that. We are very clear that, you know, we have a distribution brand, we have a retail network, we have all that, you know, all that ingredients which are required to grow this particular business. I think so, we are very optimistic that over the next 5 years' time, it is not, if you know, our top line could be 3 to 4x from as what we stand today. So that's what we are looking at, and we are taking some steps one by one at this point in time, and I think so with the time, things will pan out very clearly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Singh for the closing comments.
On behalf of PhillipCapital, I would like to thank Welspun Corp management for giving us the opportunity to host them for today's call. Without taking much time, I'll hand over to Vipul sir for any closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, all of you who joined the call today. I think so we have tried to answer all, if not most of the questions what you have raised. And having said that, if you have any doubts or clarification whatsoever, you can definitely reach out to Mr. Percy or to Salil or to Gautam for any further clarification. But I just want to re-emphasize on one thing. I think so as investors, you have maintained a trust and faith on our ability and on our deliverance. And as an organization, you know, whatever we have promised, we have always delivered. You know, it is not, even the last year guidance, if you look at it, what we promised, we have delivered that. We are sitting as an organization, we are sitting at the cusp of a growth, you know, an exponential growth. All our businesses, be it the US business, be it our DIP business, be it our India pipe business, be it our stainless steel business, be it our Sintex business, be it our TMT business, all these businesses where we are currently invested in, all these sectors are fundamentally growing, and there is no doubt or ambiguity around it. As the segments are growing, as we are into a leadership position into that particular segment, and we have seen that, you know, in the last year we have been able to capitalize upon that, I see no reason why that in the subsequent years we will not be able to leverage that potential of growth. So we are very confident on delivering what we are promising, and we always appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.